Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Welcome, everyone. You know, we all want to be strong and happy when it comes to our physical health, but what about our spiritual well-being? Are there things we can do to strengthen it as well, to make it a more joyful experience? Well, Dr. Jennings says yes, and he's here via Skype to tell us how. Dr. Jennings, five requirements for physical and spiritual health. What do we need to know?
This is a great conversation to have because there are actually five requirements to actually be physically alive and to be healthy. Mm-hmm. And the Bible uses all five of those to teach us important truths about our spiritual health. And so let's go through those five requirements and then see the biblical connection to our spiritual health.
Good.
The first one, of course, is air. We must breathe. We must inhale oxygen and exhale carbon dioxide. When God created Adam, he breathed in him the breath of life, and Adam became a living being. And so the breath we breathe is not just oxygen. It represents the life-giving spark that comes from God. We do not, as human beings, possess life original from ourselves. The life we have is a borrowed life that we receive because God created us and gave us life. Interestingly enough, Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus, said in John chapter 3, starting verse 5, the following: I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Now, what's interesting is that Jesus is commenting on two births here, a water birth, which is when a woman's water breaks and the flesh gives birth to flesh, which is our first birth into this fallen world, and then a new birth where the Spirit, and the Greek word for spirit is pneuma, from where we get pneumonia or pneumatic, and that word is actually translated ghost or breath or wind or spirit. And so when Jesus says the wind blows where it pleases, it actually is the same word. It's pneuma. The pneuma blows where it pleases, and the Spirit blows where it goes. And so he's actually making a play on the Holy Spirit and the wind here, which is the breath, which is the life that gives us energy. Mm-hmm. And so when a person dies, have you ever heard somebody say he's giving up the ghost?
Yeah.
Or they say he's expired.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's breathed his last. They're all actually saying the same thing. The breath of life is leaving, which is the pneuma, which is the life that comes from receiving the life of God. So what does it mean then? We must breathe physically, because if you stop breathing, then you don't live physically. Right. What does it mean then to breathe in the Holy Spirit? It is that when we breathe in the Holy Spirit, we take from the Holy Spirit, the Spirit is called the Spirit of truth and love, that we breathe in truth and we breathe in love, and we exhale in how we live our lives to others the principles of God. We speak truth and love in the way we govern ourselves and the way we interact with others, and this is how people will know. Jesus said, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And this is how we know. So our first element that we need in order to be alive, we have to have the breath of life breathed into us. Just like Adam and Eden, we have to be reborn by the Holy Spirit to have new hearts and right spirits to be able to love God and to love the truth. That's the starting point for our new spiritual life.
That is beautiful, because a plant will take in carbon dioxide and give out oxygen. It does not give out the same thing it takes in. It is transformed by what it takes in and gives out something wonderful.
And so once we take in the Holy Spirit and are renewed and reformed with new hearts and right spirits, then element two that is required for physical life, we need air. And we need water. 60% of our human body is made out of water, and it is essential for life and health. Water refreshes. Water washes away dirt and cleans wounds, and it's essential for life. And to the Israelites who lived in Bible times, these were a nomadic people who lived in arid lands, and the water came to be a symbol of life. And Jesus used that with the woman at the well. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you living water.
Yeah.
And that's John chapter 4, verse 10. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give a drink without cost from the springs of water of life. And then Paul writes about the Holy Spirit. He saves us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is the Spirit, the breath of life that gives us a new heart and gives us a rebirth. But the Holy Spirit is also the cleansing Spirit that cleanses us from the lies, the spirit of truth of Satan, and cleanses our hearts from fear by pouring in the love. And just as we drink physical water every day, we also must drink in the truth of God and the love of God via the Spirit into our souls every day.
Amen.
And just as in this world, Charles, that even though you are hydrated and even though you've bathed and you've cleaned yourself, as you go about your day, you will become dehydrated and you will get dirty.
That's
and you
true.
Will have to hydrate again and you will have to wash again.
That's true.
And so even though we've partaken of the Holy Spirit and had our hearts filled and we've been cleansed by the Holy Spirit, we are still in this world assaulted with all types of new falsehoods, mistreatments, accusations, exploitations, abuses, disappointments, loss, grief, temptations. All this dirt continues to assault us, and it must be washed out of our hearts, minds, and thoughts. And that's the daily washing of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third element that we need air to be healthy physically, we need water to be healthy, and we need food in order to be healthy physically. And the Bible uses the metaphor of food for our spiritual health. Jesus said in John 6:53-58, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate the manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. Now, Jesus is not talking cannibalism.
Oh, no.
But there's an object lesson here. When you eat either the flesh of a animal, like the sacrificial lamb, or the bread, the unleavened bread that was offered, either one, when you eat that into your body, it's broken down into molecules, and those molecules become building blocks to give you energy and become building blocks of the body itself. Likewise, Jesus is the Word who was made flesh. To eat the flesh of Jesus means we eat the truth or the Word of God that Jesus brought to us. And as we bring those truths into our mind, they become the building blocks of our beliefs, our ideas, our perspectives, our schemas, our values, our morals, and they form our understanding of reality and give us strength to process the world around us. It shapes our minds, hearts, and characters, and we're rebuilt as we eat on the purified Word of God. Our inner world is rebuilt. And just as the quality of the food has a direct impact on our physical health, so the quality of our spiritual food has an impact on our spiritual health.
Mm-hmm.
Junk food might taste good and be filling, but it ultimately is malnourishing and undermines health. Likewise, junk theologies and so-called junk truths that feel good in the moment might taste good and give you a thrill, but they actually don't bring spiritual health, but instead spiritual sickness. The Bible talks about there will come a time when people no longer listen to reason, truth, or evidence. Instead, in harmony with their selfishness, they will amass professors and teachers, theologians to delight them with whatever they want to hear. They refuse to listen to reason and truth and instead embrace fantasies. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, the itching ear hearing what it wants to hear.
Right.
So if we want spiritual health, we must be reborn by the Holy Spirit to have the breath of life breathe into our souls. We must be cleansed in our heart and mind by the washing of the Holy Spirit and be hydrated. And then we must partake of the Word of God to fill our minds with objective truth, rebuild us in righteousness. And then the fourth element, our physical bodies need rest. The fourth element is rest and sleep. And there's two types of rest. Our physical bodies need physical rest where we sleep at night. But in Eden, before sin, God gave Adam and Eve a different type of rest. Their first full day was spent in a Sabbath rest with God. And this rest was not physiologic rest. This was a spiritual rest. This is the rest and peace of a loving unity with God, the rest and peace of experiencing oneself as being loved, cherished, valued for who one is and not for some work or performance. The rest and peace of not having to prove oneself, of not having to earn one's way, of not having to work for approval, of not having to fight for affection. The rest and peace of intimacy with God, who loves us as his special creation, and then corresponding our love and admiration and appreciation for God as we rest in the knowledge of a unity and friendship with our Creator. This is the rest that our souls need. God has prescribed for our spiritual health one day in seven to come apart from all the busyness, cares of the world, and to rest in that relationship with him, to know that we are loved and we are precious to him, and to stop worrying about all the busyness, to stop trying to prove ourselves, to stop trying to fight our way through, but to trust him. And Jesus said, come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Spiritual health starts by being reborn, by being cleansed, by being nurtured, and by resting our cause, our lives, ourselves in our trust relationship with God. And then the fifth element for healthy living is exercise. All physical and mental development, the law of exertion. If you want something to get stronger, you must exercise it, because if you don't use it, you lose it. And after Adam and Eve, after God breathed in them the breath of life, after he gave them all the trees to eat, after he had the water, the river of life to drink, after he had a rest with God, then God gave him a garden to tend. He gave him work to do. And so after we have been reborn, after we've been washed and cleansed, after we partake in the word and have a new heart and right spirit built on the word, after we have rested in a relationship with God, we are to go to work and apply what we've learned. And then we grow in godliness and mature in righteousness.
You know, as a medical doctor, Dr. Jennings, you have seen what happens when someone is lacking in one of these five areas physically. And of course, as a Christian and a theologian as you are, you have seen what happens when people have these elements missing in their spiritual life as well. I guess what we're looking for here is encouragement. Can a person who is lacking these things physically and mentally be healed? Can a transformation actually still take place?
Can a person who's dehydrated become hydrated?
Yes, drinking.
Can a person who's malnourished eat nourishing food and become nourished?
Yes.
Can a person who has not been exercising get into a proper exercise program and gain strength?
Absolutely.
Can a person who has been overworking and not resting and not getting adequate either physical sleep or a spiritual rest, can they begin resting and become rejuvenated?
Yes.
Well, yes, all of these things are true. Absolutely. And that's true on our spiritual side as well. You can stop taking in the junk food of this world and start ingesting the word of God on a regular basis. You can stop overworking and take the Sabbath rest every week. You can start ensuring that you get physiologic rest for your body with 7-8 hours of sleep a night. And this is how reality works. When you harmonize with the laws of health, you cannot avoid the healthy outcomes that come from it. When you break the laws of health, you cannot avoid the damaging consequences. And that's true whether it's on our physical side or our spiritual side.
Well, that is such good news today from Dr. Jennings, and I want you, listener, to visit a website, comeandreason.com, and you'll find books there called God-Shaped Brain, The God-Shaped Heart, The Aging Brain, Could It Be This Simple? And there are sharing tracks, and there are courses you can take and videos you can look at, all for the purpose of feeding you, giving you air, giving your spiritual life exercise, bringing rest to your soul. That's all at comeandreason.com. And Dr. Jennings, I know that you and your team work very, very hard to make these things available to those who visit there. This program was sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries, and Dr. Jennings has been joining us today via Skype. Dr. Jennings, as always, thank you so much for sharing both on your website and on this program. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Charles.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.